Hi, I'm Reverend Zach.
I'm Francis.
You sound so sad.
That's not my fault.
And welcome to This Movie Was a Hot Dog, a podcast where me and my brother Francis over here watch a bad movie, critically, financially, or otherwise. Then we review it, break it down, and tell you what we think. And this week, we watched a movie? Question mark?
It was just a lot of scenes pieced together, I feel.
We watched 1980s.
We don't know what year it
was. Something. A Ninja Terminator, directed by Godfrey Ho.
At the end of now, I'm still looking for the Terminator.
Well, that's clear. I have an explanation for that.
Oh, good.
This is actually a request. We got an email from a guy, and he requested this was a request from him. I believe you have something to read.
Yes, this is the email from one of our excited many fans. So I'm going to go ahead and read this one out loud. What's so funny?
Our excited many fans.
Hey, you never know.
One guy was nice enough to write one thing.
Yes. Okay, so it says, "Hey, Zach and Francis, I really enjoy your podcast and listen when I can. Parts of your 1999 coverage had me almost in tears. I just wanted to let you know about a movie so terrible that it makes Double Team 2 look like a smash hit. I was introduced to this turd sandwich accidentally when browsing the internet and, like, terrible traffic accident, once I started watching, I couldn't look away. The film is Ninja Terminator, but don't get excited. These ninjas aren't the awesome slice-and-dice ninjas we are accustomed to. No, these ninjas never made it through the ninja training or made it through, but suffered a terrible accident." Ah, I see. "In other words, they are defunct, atrocious, and abominable." Abominable? Yeah. "Just like this movie, the acting is deplorable. There is outright piracy of music from other films, Star Wars theme and Clockwork Orange, just to name a couple, women's wigs on men, shitty robots straight out of Toys R Us defect bin, poorly synced voice acting, laughable action scenes, and of course, a plot that makes no goddamn sense whatsoever. I will agree with you there. If you have seen this film already, I am sorry that you lost that hour and a half of your life. If you haven't yet, I would love to see it pop up in a future podcast. Thanks for doing what you guys do. I enjoy your weekly updates, and I hope to see them for some time. Warm regards, Ethan." I mean, Ethan. Yeah, so thanks so much, Ethan, for writing in. So we took your advice and we watched this thing that might or might not be a movie.
It's a movie. In fact, it might be a couple of movies.
We're not sure how many yet.
Okay, so did you do any research on this?
I didn't. I just watched the movie.
Okay, because if you do some research on it, it puts what we saw into some context. So Godfrey Ho is a Hong Kong film director, and he's considered the Ed Wood of Hong Kong cinema. He makes these really, really quick, really, really low-budget movies for, like, you know, a dime and pumps them out. And he made a bunch of movies in the 80s.
Kind of like our podcast. I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
What do you mean, Carla?
We're pumping them out once a week. No, I'm just messing with you. It was a joke.
Oh. Oh. Good one. So, he directed more than 100 films, 80 of which were from 1980 to 1990.
80?
80 movies in 10 years.
Oh,
he
boy.
Pumps these out. And you'll find out why. So, He uses the cut-and-paste technique, which means these movies are made by splicing a bunch of unused footage from other movies. Like, he'll find movies that include ninja motifs, right? He'll take two or three movies and splice them together to make a movie. And all he's got to do is, like, dub over the dialogue so the dialogue sort of has to do with one another, and then he calls that a film.
Now, wait. Now, the movies he's taking, are they his?
Some of them are his, some of them aren't. Some of them are footage he buys from studios from unreleased films.
Okay, because, I was going to say, like, can he...
So I'm pretty sure that the part with the white guys was filmed by him, and the other part, which was clearly filmed a decade before and has nothing to do... this I don't even know. Like, this is so all over the place.
I mean, you start off. I mean, the first scene, you're like, all right, this resembles something, but
I was lost at the first scene.
Well, something,
but before the first scene.
Okay, we're going into it now, I guess.
Yeah, we're going into it now. Before the first scene, tell us about the the production company logo.
Well, that pops up, and the first thing we get is part of the Imperial March from Star Wars.
They just out and out stole the Star Wars music.
Not even it. I'm like, that's
it's not even
that.
Like in a different instrument.
Straight
or
up.
Like it's straight up. They're just like cut, paste. Here's the thing. You can't do. Oh, by the way, this is called Ninja Terminator.
Yeah.
There's no Terminator in this movie. There's a ton of ninjas.
No robots to speak.
That was the other thing he was known for, which he would make these cut and paste movies, right?
Right.
And then he would call them like Ninja Terminator. Something something predator, alien versus ninja. He would call them just like, he would just throw on another movie title. So when you walk by in the Blockbuster, you're like, Terminator, cool, and you buy it, and you're like, wait a minute.
It's like, it's almost like using the hashtag or something from back then.
Yeah, it's, wait, what?
Like a hashtag, like a keyword to get someone to go look at it, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah. So
it's like a bunch of ninjas fight each other. Hashtag Terminator.
Okay, so we hear the Star Wars music, as is what you want to hear when you watch any ninja film. And so take us into what happens.
It's a bunch of ninjas in a room all worshiping some gold ninja statue.
Yeah, it's like there's an Asian ninja.
And a like bunch of white other ninjas.
Yeah, there's an Asian ninja in a red suit, and then there's like a white guy with a mustache, and then there's just another white guy there's a second white guy. There's white guy number one with a mustache and white guy number two. They all have eyeliner on.
Oh, guyliner.
And no, this is eyeliner. They are wearing ladies' eyeliner.
And I don't understand why.
I don't either. And yeah, they're worshiping this tiny gold statue. And then what looks to be from a completely unrelated scene, the red ninja is talking about it's the 20th anniversary of the Ninja Empire. We never find out what that is, but boy, is that referenced. And has gathered their top fighters to whack this guy with swords? Why are they whacking this guy with swords?
And I guess from what I gathered here, the idol or the statue makes him invulnerable? Is that...
There is magic kind of thrown in here and never talked about. So for like the first 20 minutes, there's no magic until all of the sudden there is. So they're standing there and they're whacking this guy with swords because I guess he's impervious or something.
I thought it was the statue that was giving him.
I mean, I don't know. So then there's this first scene is edited so badly that I can't tell if this is the same scene or a new scene that comes up. But three red ninjas and three black ninjas are now outside and they're killing each other and all the black ninjas win. And I kind of figured this was going to be unwatchable garbage, right? But I was hoping the fighting would at least be pretty good.
No.
Oh, no, I was wrong. The fighting is laughably awful.
Every hit is delayed, like the sound. It's got all the classic...
I wouldn't call it classic at all. I would say this, like, in a normal ninja movie, there's like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh when they're fighting. This is like, wow! Why? Wow! It's so loud!
And, and everything
is so loud.
And everything is like delayed. The sounds are all delayed, and you can clearly see everyone missing.
And the music is that like the music in this movie is that weird Asian-y music where it'll just be like one tone, where it's just like. It's like a cat screaming.
Oh, man.
And, oh, so, okay, so the black ninjas win, so the red ninja shows up, and only through dialogue was I able to piece together what just happened.
Yeah,
so
because I couldn't figure, I was like, we went from this to this, like, why are they fighting?
Just because it just jump cuts. So, the black ninjas consist of the two white guys, mustache guy, and white guy number two, mm-hmm. and a third Asian guy, and they, all three of them, steal the gold statue from the first scene and escape, and the main red ninja says, spread the word, we gotta get that statue back and kill them. Perfect setup for a simple plot, right?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't sound too
wrong.
Bad. Yeah.
Cut to an establishing shot with a title card that says 2 years later. What?
It took them 2 years to find the...
I actually laughed out loud. And as we progress through the movie, you realize that that time change doesn't matter at all.
It could have been 5 minutes.
It could have been an hour. It could
Whatever,
have been a month.
Yeah.
Why is it 2 years later? It doesn't even matter that it's 2 years later. It's not even like they're in another country. They're in the same place. So 2 years later,
this really hurts my brain. Every time you say something new, go ahead, just keep going.
Okay, so it's 2 years later, where the one Asian guy of the three black ninjas is doing some spell in front of this gold statue. Then a red ninja shows up. As if this is the same scene from 2 minutes ago. Kills him. The red ninja takes part of that statue back to wherever. And then we flash forward to his funeral. What the hell is going on?
And then the funeral. I love the dialogue during the funeral.
The funeral goes on for 3 minutes. And it's not like this is a funeral for a character we know nothing about.
Yep.
We have no background to. Why are we at his funeral for so goddamn long?
And this is the first time I realized just how. I mean, I knew the dialogue was bad in the first scene, but of the film.
Well,
but this one, just I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go.
Well, this is the first scene of the other movie,
right?
So the first part with the two white guys is a movie filmed in like 1987, and then. This part of the movie with the funeral, with these characters, appears to be filmed in the late 70s, maybe 1980, just seeing how they're dressed. And this is an entirely Asian cast. In fact, they might be from a different country. I think they might even be, like, Filipino or Thai. I don't think they're from Hong Kong. It like, they're just... We find out that the name of the statue is the Golden Ninja Warrior, and we say Golden Ninja Warrior, what, 7,000 times?
Might have been 8.
It's like, it's almost the only thing some people say.
And I've never been a fan of the voiceover movies. It's never been my thing.
You mean movies with dubbing?
Yeah, that one.
Well, I mean,
I just can't get it. Just the whole, and this one is especially bad.
Well, movies that are dubbed generally aren't good. I mean, you like even the Godzilla movies, which some of them can be decent enough. I mean, and they do dubbing okay nowadays, but like, I mean, if you really want to watch a foreign movie, just watch it with subtitles.
That's true. I don't think this was just, I mean, yeah, anyways, the funeral scene, and it's just two people.
Now cut to some house. A Chinese man in a white tuxedo wearing a platinum blonde female wig is talking to some crime boss who is some white guy. Is he the same white guy from the beginning? I don't know. So the white guy says to the adult man with a mustache wearing a platinum blonde wig, says that the brother and sister of the black ninja killed 2 minutes ago are the people at the funeral, and they know where the gold statue is, so go send a gang of ninjas there to go get it. Jump cut. Now a bunch of guys with stockings on their faces are after these two people, and this movie's only been in for 10 minutes, and I'm already like, I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah, you don't care about the characters because they don't give you a chance to.
You can't get anybody. It's not that they don't give you a chance to. I don't even know, like, who anybody's name is.
I think near the end I learned one of the girls' names just because they say it 5,000 times.
So in this fight, they kill the brother and the sister gets away. Then cut to the blonde guy with the female wig on. No, this is another guy. This is another guy now. Now we cut to the white guy. The white guy with the mustache.
The bad one? Oh, no. Oh, you're talking about camo guy?
Yeah, the camo guy.
Man,
the white guy. The white guy with the mustache who is in an apartment cutting up watermelons with a sword. There are a lot of watermelons in this movie.
Not sure what that's some sort of weird reference or what.
They reuse this scene of this guy cutting up watermelons two more times.
And is he in his gi or ninja outfit yet? Yeah, he's wearing a camouflage. It's supposed to be a ninja suit or whatever, but it's just a hoodie.
So blonde mustache guy who. I found out his name. His name is Harry.
Harry.
This white guy with the mustache, his name is Harry. He gets a phone call on his Garfield phone.
I actually enjoyed that part.
He has this, like, this is a phone you had when you were, like, 13 and you got a phone in your room.
Yeah, back in the 80s. Yeah, you were like, I got a phone. Yeah, your first phone was some sort of goofy phone, like a Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck
phone. He has a Garfield phone.
Yeah.
He gets a phone call about the death of the brother because he has a piece of the gold statue, and now he knows that somebody is looking for all the pieces.
Now, is he one of the black ninjas in the original scene?
Yes.
Okay.
The black ninjas in the original scene are the two white guys.
And the guy that died.
Right.
Oh, yeah, so, this is making sense now.
Right. We're coming into it. So now we cut to another movie. Like, this might even be a third movie, where there is a man going to a restaurant who's looking for the sister from the funeral, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes into the restaurant, she refuses to talk to him about the statue, probably because they didn't have any footage to make that plot make sense. So, I don't know this guy's name. I just call him the guy who was looking for the sister. So the guy who was looking for the sister goes outside and just gets in a fight with three dudes. And the dialogue is just like, hey, you look like you can fight. You think you can handle my style? And then there's 10 minutes of karate.
and that's a theme that comes to keep going. And
oh, yeah.
Again, the fights are terrible.
And they're long.
Yeah. You might as well go get yourself a snack and come back. The fight will be wrapping up at that point.
And, like, this guy gets in a lot of fights that, so this guy, they, like, just weave him into the main plot of these white guys through dialogue,
this
right?
This is the Asian dude, right?
Right. This is the guy looking for the sister.
And he's supposed to be, like, the hero, I think.
Yeah?
I thought for a while, and then maybe I got confused, and I have no clue.
I think if you had to pick, like, a hero, for me, it's between the guy looking for the sister and Harry with the Garfield phone.
He doesn't do much till the... Never mind. We'll get into that.
Yeah, well, okay. So then we cut back to the apartment building, which is Harry's apartment building, where a red ninja or the red ninja? I can never figure out if there is a clan of red ninjas or one guy.
I think it's a clan.
You only ever see one at a time, though.
Yeah, but they're not going to send the red ninja out to do some silly, like,
reconnaissance
work.
A red ninja breaks in looking for his part of the Golden Ninja Warrior statue. Harry comes in and, like, magic just appears in his ninja outfit. He's not in it. Then there's a jump cut. Then he's in his outfit.
I
thought this was bad editing. I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be magic, though.
Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of these jump cuts and stuff, all they're doing is, like, it's an old VCR, so they're turning the VCR off, the guy moves 5 feet, and then they turn the VCR, the record back on.
But that's because it's edited like that.
You think,
like, oh, this just, you know, this is shit, and this looks like shit, but then later they're doing it as a magic trick. Like, this is magic. So Harry is magic, and he appears in his ninja costume. When he's just himself, he's not wearing eyeliner. And when he magically appears in his ninja outfit, he has magic eyeliner on now?
Yeah, it gives him his power.
So they get into a ninja fight, which has a bunch of stupid karate.
And lasts forever.
Harry pulls... No, this one's really short.
Was it?
Harry... Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. Harry pulls a mirror out of his pocket.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Shines it at the red ninja. Cut to the red ninja, where, like, a floodlight is turned on this guy. Like,
yeah.
This mirror has the power of the sun in it. And then the red ninja points the butt of his sword at Harry, and it's supposed to look like white smoke is coming out of it, but it really just looks like somebody sprayed a fire extinguisher next to it.
That's exactly what it was. It was a fire extinguisher.
Just off screen, there's a fire extinguisher.
And I think later on, they used the same effect to depict ice or like snow.
Well, because it's a fire extinguisher, of course they would.
Oh, boy.
And then the red ninja runs away. Then, smash cut to an open field, where the guy who was looking for the sister is now fighting another guy. I have no idea why. I'm not even sure if these two stories are connected at this point, or if there is even a cohesive story. If any of these stories are supposed to even be tangentially related. It's like, this is like a fever dream.
Now, I know there's not a lot of plot going on, but...
Oh, this guy, the guy looking for the sister, his plot is fight, is have karate fights.
I was just going to get into that. So there's not a lot of plot. So the only way they could make this film long enough to be a motion picture, I guess, is just put in a bunch of fights. And... make them, you know, like you said, 5+ minutes.
And this guy is like, he doesn't lose a single fight.
He doesn't even get hit.
He is like the best at karate or the crane technique or whatever he says, and he never loses. So every time he's on screen, it's him just beating the ever-loving shit out of three other men, anywhere from 1 to 20 guys at a time. So he beats all these people up. There's three people in this scene, and then he steals this one guy's ring. He's just like, well, you lose the fight, so I get your ring. Also, he talks like this, because he's a super cool guy. And then cut to the red ninja breaking in to another apartment, and this is the other white guy, who I thought was the bad guy talking to the guy in the blonde wig. So I wasn't entirely sure why the red ninja was attacking this white guy, but then I realized that the red ninja is part of the ninja empire, and the white guy number two is part of his own independent crime organization. Everybody following along?
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to get a drink while you try to explain.
So this is the scene where there's just out-and-out magic now. The red ninja is doing, like, teleporting backflips. So he'll do like two backflips. The screen there's a cut, and then when it comes back on, he's like 30 yards down the road. So he breaks into the apartment. He sneaks up on white guy number two, and then he does a magic jump cut. He does a backflip, cut mid backflip. He reappears in his uniform with eyeliner on, of course, because you're a ninja. You need a white guy ninja needs to wear eyeliner, I guess. Then the red ninja makes fire appear from his sword. White guy number two has fire extinguisher powers.
Which is supposed to be ice.
Which is supposed to be ice. And then scares that ninja away. So that happened. Why? Cut to...
Why does it move so fast? Why? Oh, it's like I can't take a second to hold my breath. Can we have a moment of talking?
You're absolutely right, like... Not that this would be any better if it slowed down, because I don't think he can slow it down because he's just splicing together used footage. But because it's moving lightning fast, you don't even have a chance to look at a character's face to remember it.
There's no recognition. I mean, the only one I remembered mostly was the camo ninja guy and the guy with the wig.
Well, the camo ninja guy is impossible to miss because he is like, he's like an Aryan looking dude. He's like 6'5", blonde hair, blue eyes, big bushy blonde mustache. But the white guy number two, I thought there were like six white guys in this movie. I think there were only two. I think white guy number two, I was confusing for like four different characters. Because you never even see him long enough to register his facial structure. Because he's in it for like a flash of a second, and then he does a magic backflip, and now he's a ninja.
And he's supposed to be one of the main characters.
I don't even know if he was the good guy or the bad guy. I thought he was the bad guy.
I thought he was the good guy.
He's in charge of the evil, the guy who's wearing the female lady's wig.
And then
he's in charge of that gang.
Maybe.
No, he is.
Is he? Okay, I thought that. Well, then why are they breaking into his house?
I don't. Well, that's the Red Ninja. The Red Ninja is part of the Ninja Empire.
Oh, my God.
Which is its own independent organization.
Oh.
So then we cut back to the guy who's helping the sister. He goes inside a pawn shop to sell the ring he just stole. And I loved this because...
Why? This
because
is the stupidest thing ever. Why do you love it?
Because the owner is dubbed with a guy who has a southern accent.
I didn't even notice.
So it's like... It's like... It's this Chinese guy with like this big bushy 70s hair. And he's like, well, what can I do for you?
It hurts my chest. Oh, God.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid. So the owner tells him, the owner of the pawn shop tells this guy that the ring's a fake. And he's like, oh, well, you can keep it then. See you later. He goes to leave. He sees a woman in the store. Is it the sister? I don't know. Is it a new character? Is it some unknown third option? Possibly, because this movie is incomprehensible. So,
I don't understand. Yeah, you're right. At first, I thought it was the sister.
But because you never, at this point in the movie, the sister is in two scenes. And one of the scenes, her back is entirely to the camera. So you don't even really know what she looks like. So when this woman comes up, who keep in mind, is wearing sunglasses and like a babushka, I'm just like, that's an Asian lady.
What's a babushka? We've only been
it's like a scarf you wear around your head.
Oh, okay.
So you can't, her face is obscured, and we've only been introduced to one other Asian lady in this whole movie, so I just assumed that was her. Because there doesn't seem to be any other character of any importance. And then there's a car chase. He runs this woman off the road.
Now, I love the car chase because there's points where they just both like go side to side for no reason.
Oh, they're like, I thought this guy was trying to kill this woman.
That's what I thought.
This is supposed to be like a clever, like, ha-ha, tag, you're it kind of thing. But there's, like, cars crashing into each other on the side of a cliff.
Yeah, and they're like, violently going side to side with their cars, both of them, for no reason, it seemed, at the time.
And then he gets out of the car, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, come on, I know who you are. And he takes off her headscarf, and he takes off her sunglasses, and he goes, see, I knew it was you, Lily. And I'm like, who the hell is Lily? Who is this now? They have a weird conversation. Then he grabs her head like it's a pumpkin. And he just starts smashing his face into her, like forcing her to kiss him. She eventually gets into it. And then there is this. Like one of two of the grossest sex scenes I've ever seen.
Boy.
Like. I thought, like, I was like, oh, is this, like, where they just cut a porn in? Because there's, like, a weird, like, she's, like, scooting out of her panties, and it's really, really, like, it's weird.
It gets pretty close to
yeah, it gets close to a couple of things.
Oh.
Oh, this sex scene, like, every time they do, like, they get to, like, they up the progression. So they're kissing, then they flash to a bed. And I'm like, okay, this is where they cut that scene to black and, you know, we get it, they had sex. No. Then they're on the bed and they're taking their clothes off. okay, this is where we cut it, and it fades to black. Then she's shimmying out of her panties for like 30 seconds. We're like, all right, got it. They're having sex. Then they're just outright fucking. Like, and I'm like, I get it.
I mean, it's not straight on. Look, you know what I mean? It's. But,
oh, yeah, it's not like you're not seeing this guy, like, rub his dick all over or nothing, no. But, like...
It's shadows, basically.
Right. So then that's done.
Thank
so
goodness.
Now cut to an outside pavilion where white guy number two and Harry are having a ninja fight in an open-air mall food court for some reason. I don't know why they're fighting.
Practice? Fun? Annual ninja fight club? Maybe they had a bet going.
So through, like, these guys are dubbed, but they clearly speak English.
Right.
So I couldn't figure out what was going on here. So they are fighting because apparently, which wasn't unclear until this point, they have both been sending separate thugs to gather the remaining parts of the Golden Ninja Warrior. Harry is sending the guy who is looking for the sister, because the sister's supposed to know where it is, right?
Okay.
White guy number two...
All right, everyone get your notepads out. This
right.
is going to get
Everybody
confusing right now.
So white guy number two is in charge of the thugs with the guy who's wearing the blonde wig. And the red ninja is breaking into their places and is trying to turn the two white guys against each other by using each other's ninja stars, which has their names branded on them. So he throws Harry's ninja star at white guy number two. The red ninja throws white guy number two ninja star at Harry. So they both think they're trying to kill each other, so that they will kill each other, so that the red ninja, who's a ninja or the ninja of the Red Ninja Empire, to control, to get all the pieces of the statue. You, everybody got that?
I mean, no, seriously, like... It's so funny because there's no, up to that point, there's no, like, development in any of that. And then it's just like they just throw all this at you in, like, what, 20
oh, yeah.
seconds?
They dump this on you in about three sentences. Like, you have, there's no build to this. It's just, oh, this is what's happening. And they speak it really quickly. And then they cut to another, not even another scene, another movie. They cut to another movie. So you're like, how?
And we're 40 minutes in, mind you, right? About that far?
Right.
So you don't even, that's when they dump everything at once on you. No character development, nothing.
Also, I could be, frankly, I could be entirely wrong.
Yeah, we're just guessing because.
Yeah, everything I just said could be wrong.
We're going with what we got, and like we said, we're working with three films in one here, so the plot kind of just takes on its own thing from scene to scene.
So here, but like, I wrote down this dialogue because I love it.
Oh, here we
go. So also keep in mind, now Harry and white guy number two realize they've been played, right?
Mm-hmm.
They realize they've been played against each other, so they stop fighting, and they're like, great, now we have to stop the Ninja Empire. And they're worried that if the Ninja Empire gets the statue, that they'll be able to kill them, right?
Right, because they can't be hurt, I think, or something. I don't know.
Right. So,
we're not sure either.
So Harry says, the Ninja Empire will destroy us. Then white guy number two says, we will all be destroyed. Then Harry says, unless we destroy them first. I'm just like, what? What are we even talking about?
They're just trying to use up time by putting in useless dialogue.
So then we cut to an airport where a new character is introduced who doesn't play into anything beyond this. He has one phone call with Harry after this scene. I don't even know why we need an establishing shot of this man. He's nothing, like, it's, oh my god, I'm getting a headache.
You're getting angry.
So, this new character we just introduced, who is working for the real bad guys.
Now, is that the Ninja Army?
Ninja Empire,
oh.
Yeah. Who he's sent there to kill Harry and white guy number two.
Is that the wig guy?
No, this is a guy who got out at the airport.
I could have figured the wig guy was the main bad guy.
No, the wig guy works for white guy number two.
But he's bad.
Well, that depends on whether or not you think white guy number two is bad.
I didn't have an opinion on white guy number two.
So, jump cut to the guy who is looking for the sister. He gets jumped by a gang of thugs. He fights them off. Then the pawn shop owner shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And with a southern accent goes, "That ring you brought me was stolen. It belongs to my brother. I'll get revenge now."
And they fight one-on-one.
That, what I just said, by the way, is quoted dialogue. "That ring you brought was stolen. It belonged to my brother. I will get revenge now." I'll get revenge now. Right now, I'll get it.
Not tomorrow.
There is another fight. This guy, I am, like, at this point, I was absolutely convinced I'm watching, like, three movies. Like,
I thought it was two.
I couldn't tell if the funeral part and the part with, like, there's, like, a wedding, too, that seemed disconnected.
Every scene is disconnected.
So he beats up everybody, including the pawn shop owner, because this guy never loses a fight. So then we cut to Harry's apartment. He hears a knock on the door. He goes to answer it, and he is assaulted by a 6-inch-tall toy robot. This toy robot also has fire extinguisher powers for some.
Is that supposed to be poison, I wonder?
No, I don't think so. And then he tells
no,
them...
No, just whatever.
And then the toy robot is like, "Hey, you need to return your part of the Gold Ninja statue." And then it's like, okay, he just stares at this thing, and then he gets a call on his Garfield phone.
"Hey, did you get our message?"
Yeah, and the guy just tells him exactly what the robot just said.
Why didn't they just give him a call?
If you want to do the robot thing, I don't know, if you got the robots lying around, use them, right? What else are you going to use them for? Or call him!
Not both. That's like getting an email at work, and then someone walking up to your desk, "Get that email I sent you?"
So, Harry says he stole the Golden Ninja Warrior so that he could reform the Ninja Empire. That, he says that, and that seems like that was going to go somewhere. That's dropped.
Well, it's good were listening to that part. I didn't catch that at all. I was just like, oh my gosh, next scene.
I kept wanting to fast forward. But if you miss any of the dialogue, yeah, it's like you're lost.
It's really quick.
So cut to the guy who's looking for the sister, who for some reason is now doing a drug deal. I don't even know where this subplot has nothing to do with the other plots or even with this guy's plot. So he exchanges a suitcase with a group of thugs. His is filled with cocaine. And the thugs realize that the one he gave them was empty, so a fight ensues. The guy looking for the sister kidnaps one of the thugs from the drug deal, interrogates him, asking who his boss is, because I guess this guy is now trying to fight this drug empire. Then white guy number two calls the guy in the blonde female wig, who says the guy looking for the sister is Harry's guy, which we knew, but is trying to stop his men, so he wants female wig man to stop him from stopping them and get the statue?
Why is the plot so complicated?
Like, and honestly, what I just said is the best I can give you.
We don't even know. And then that's more, I mean, what the Rev here is saying is definitely more than anything I could tell you, because he did a lot more apparently listening.
All I did, like, I listened and I would stop and write down what happened. So, like, the guy would be like, "Hey, I'm trying to look for the boss." And I'd stop and be like,
"Who's the boss?
This guy's doing this. Play."
He had a flow chart.
And then he'd call this other guy, and the other guy would go, "Good. I need you to go over here. Blah, blah, blah." Pause. This guy's going
oh,
here.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I just couldn't, like, there were, again, so I wanted to, but what happens is, and warning for those going to watch this, the scene's happening, and just as your brain is about to go, okay, that's over, and you're going to something else.
And it's not even like you're trying to figure out what the red ninja and white guy number two is doing, and then the next scene is just a build of that. You're trying to figure out what white guy number two is doing and the red ninja. Then we cut to the other movie. So yeah. Then you have to try to get into the mindset of movie number two.
It basically is taking all five seasons. You're trying to memorize all the five seasons of Game of Thrones, like the hierarchy of all the families, and pack it into an hour.
Yeah, kind
of. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is. That's how much you're trying to remember all the lore and stuff from like a show like that or anything, you know, with a large amount of lore in it, and pack it into about an hour and 15 minutes.
So then we cut to the guy who's looking for the sister is now at someone's wedding. I think it's the sister's wedding. I don't know. Honestly, not even sure if it's a wedding.
They don't even say what they're doing.
I'm not even sure if it's a wedding. She was in a white gown, and they were in front of a cake, so I just went, it's a wedding. At the wedding, the lights go out. I'm assuming this is his sister, is kidnapped.
Yes.
And the guy looking, like, who's protecting her is the only one who notices she's gone.
Everyone else is like, well, get back to the party. That was a little
power. And he's like, where's Bing Bong, or whatever her name is.
Bing Bong? Oh, jeez.
I don't know her name.
Kashuki? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Kashuki. He's like, where's Kashuki? And everyone's like, huh? I don't know. Where is she? Where is the bride of the wedding we're at?
The reason we're here.
And so that guy leaps into action. Cut to Harry's girlfriend, who is easily 30 years younger than he is, who is a clothing designer. That scene ends. I don't know why we met this woman. I don't know why we had to have an entire conversation with her assistant about how she's designing clothes. She's never seen again or before. What?
She's, I don't know, maybe try to show that Camo Ninja has a soft side.
There's no time. Cut to white guy number two, who is eating a watermelon on a paper plate with a knife and fork.
No time. Go ahead.
He is visited by one of the killer robots from the Ninja Empire about him returning his part of the Golden Ninja Warrior. Then we cut back to the guy looking for the sister, who is called by the guys who stole the girl at the wedding, who might be the sister, and I think they are part of the Ninja Empire.
But I thought they were also part of with the guy with the wig.
No, I don't think they are, though.
Oh, okay. Because that confused me.
Yes, you're right. Because then there is a cut to the white... Wait, no, then there's a cut to white guy number two who is getting ready to battle Harry something. I think that happened. Then we cut outside to where the guy looking for the sister, he meets Lily. So I guess this is at the point where I went, oh, I guess Lily and the sister aren't the same person.
I realize that.
But Lily is a trap because he gets jumped by a gang, and then he's brought to the leader of the gang who wants to exchange the drugs for the sister, who's not Lily. Then cut to Lily and the boss and the gang boss who have really gross sex. Like,
it's really bad.
This guy has a weird mustache, and his head is, like, poking between her knees while he rocks forward very, very slowly. It's upsetting.
It's upsetting. It disturbs me a little bit. I hit the fast forward button a little.
So the guy looking for the sister is tied up, and he's going to be killed. So he asks, you got to help me with this part, okay?
The cigarette you're talking about?
Yeah. So he asks for a cigarette, right?
Yep.
And then he also offers the executioner one.
Right.
Because he's like, I want to smoke my brand. So the executioner's like, all right, I'll be a nice guy. He gives a cigarette to the executioner. The executioner smokes it. And then is the cigarette so strong that it knocks this guy out? Is that what happened?
Yes.
Because this guy smokes a cigarette, then there's a punching sound, and this guy's just like,
maybe it was a combination.
Combination of what?
A punch and him being hit back.
But the guy is tied up.
No, I think they untie him because...
No, because he stands up and he fights in his chair.
Oh, that's
with
right.
His hands
he's swinging it around.
Back.
Yeah, you're right. I think it had to be just that the cigarette was enchanted. I don't know.
What was that? That's not, like, there's not even dialogue. I watched this part of the movie probably like 30 times.
It doesn't make, it doesn't make much sense. But
he takes a drag of the cigarette and he gets boing, 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 and I'm like, wait a minute, did I miss a kick?
Maybe,
and so I went back.
Put something in the cigarettes because he was.
Well, that's what I thought.
Preemptively, and then, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I thought I missed the kick, and then I thought what you said, so I went back, and I'm listening to the dialogue, and there's never anything where he's like, those are really strong, or I only smoke my brand because they have dynamite in them or something. There's nothing. There's nothing. I am just left to assume that this cigarette kicked this man in the face with cigarette power. So,
cigarette power.
So, like we said, he's tied in that chair. He stands up. He breaks his way out of it. And then, so cut to white guy number two, who is telling the man in the female wig to send Harry a VHS tape tied to a tiny robot, because I guess he also has robots, saying that he has the sister from the guy killed in the beginning. So that happens. Then Harry picks up his Garfield phone and calls the guy looking for the sister. And it's funny, because since they're talking, like, they're having a conversation between these two movies, also, this is the only time that Harry interacts with this guy.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be, you know, ninja friends or something.
Not even ninja friends. They're supposed to be in the same city doing the same thing, except they're in two different movies, and
technically years apart. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah, the guy looking for the sister with the crew cut, he picks up his phone from 1979 to call Harry on his Garfield phone from 1986. Like, it's like they're calling through, it's like frequency.
Frequency.
So he tells the guy who's looking for the sister to kidnap Lily as revenge for kidnapping the sister. So the guy looking for the sister kidnaps Lily while pretending to be a taxi driver and beats up the bodyguard. So meanwhile, the guy with the female blonde wig meets some scientist who is building him a bomb so he can strap it to the sister. Then they have a, because yeah. I guess white guy number two has the sister? I guess you're right. I guess the drugs were from white guy number two.
But that's, you lost me.
So
I've changed my mind 5 times during the podcast.
So they have the prisoner exchange, right? So he returns Lily. He thinks he gets the sister, but it's a guy dressed as her, and now the sister is somewhere with a bomb strapped to her. The guy looking for the sister beats up like 12 guys, then races to stop the bomb and save the girl, and he does. So we're almost done. So now Harry and white guy number two are getting ready to fight the Ninja Empire, even though I thought that they were not friends anymore. I thought they were friends now. I thought the two gangs weren't fighting each other, but they are.
Well, maybe the Golden Idol caused that. I don't know.
Something. So the guy looking for the sister goes to the docks where the guy with the female wig is to fight him for something. And then the guy takes the wig off. Raising so many questions, like, why was he wearing this lady's wig in the first place?
Yeah, I mean,
that, you know what? That's the only question, and that should be enough.
Because, I thought they had it as, that was part of his, that was his hair.
Or something?
Yeah, there was no point to it. It was just, I just wear it because it's fun.
So he takes the wig off, then they fight for 10 minutes, the good guy wins. And so that movie's done.
that movie's done.
The guy looking for the sister kills the guy in the blonde wig. That movie's over. So we wrap that up. So now we go to Harry, white guy number two, and the red ninja all show up at some place. I don't know where or why or how we all knew to get there. or even who the red ninja is. Who is that guy?
Maybe they called him on the Garfield phone.
That's the only way Harry, other than him going to the office to see his wife, right?
Yeah.
Other than that, the only way Harry interacts with people is on the Garfield phone. He doesn't actually speak to another person other than his wife unless it's on the Garfield phone. So they each have a piece of the Red Ninja the golden ninja warrior statue, and they're worshiping it, then Harry and white guy number two, who are now friends again, are fighting the red ninja together. The white guy number two dies, so it's just Harry and the red ninja. Harry kills the red ninja, and now he's got all three pieces of the statue, and is now the leader of the ninja empire. So I guess Harry is the hero?
The supreme victor.
So he puts all three of these pieces of this statue together, while the red ninja, who's not dead yet, he's just defeated, is like, oh no, I've lost face. I can't go back to the dojo something. They'll never respect me. While he's saying that, Harry's just like, sweet, I got this statue. He puts it all together and he's looking for it. Then for no reason at all, the red ninja explodes.
Best part of the movie.
Literally, like, there's not like, I'm going to turn on this bomb, or Harry's like, I'm going to use the power. Because when the guy explodes, Harry turns over his shoulder like, what's that?
Whoa, what happened?
And then it goes this fast, clicks the statue together. Oh no, I'm going to lose respect to the thing. Clicks the other statue together. Cut back to Red Ninja. Explodes. What's that? Freeze frame. Says the end. End of movie. You're like, what?
Everything's explained.
This guy explodes and then the movie ends. This was exhausting.
Why don't you take a breath?
Oh, while I take a breath, why don't you tell me what you thought?
Okay. You might be surprised here, but I actually didn't hate it. Yeah, I didn't hate it.
The rating scale. The ratings are, I didn't hate it. It's a good party movie, good hangover movie, or I hated it.
I didn't hate it. I thought it was so ridiculous and over the top that I'd watch this again, especially with a couple of buddies. You know what? I'd even dare say I'd have a couple of buddies over with a pizza and a couple beers. And, you know, I'd watch this with them and just make the ever-loving fun out of this thing.
So you'd call this a good party movie?
Yeah, but I also didn't hate it.
Okay, fair enough.
So maybe it's a double?
Yeah. There you go. It's a double.
I thought that it was hilarious. Of course, it makes no sense, but that was so great about it. It drags a little, but other than that, I mean, I think it was hilarious, and I thought that I could probably watch this a couple more times, especially with I'd love to watch it with someone that's never seen it.
Oh, absolutely!
And just watch their reactions to it. So that's what I thought of it. What do you think?
I think this movie is. Bad editing doesn't even explain it. Lighting, like, the actors in it are confusing. This is mind-bogglingly confusing and paced, and I loved it.
Good.
I loved it. This is a party movie. This is, hey, everybody, come to my house. We're watching Ninja Terminator. What's that? Don't worry. You're going to find out when you get here.
Because I'm going to be watching you.
It's just, you have to see it to believe it.
Ethan?
Fortunately, if you want to see it, it'll only take a quick little Google search and it'll show up somewhere. So I suggest doing that.
Ethan, I think we have to give you a thank you for this one.
Yeah, we'll give Ethan a thank you. Not to say anything bad on Don for last week for Godzilla. Is it, how sad is it that this is a better movie than Godzilla was?
And Godzilla's a 1998 movie, which should have been good.
Like a major Hollywood release with a huge budget, and like at least it had a cohesive story. But this was just so much more entertaining than that. Take that, Roland Emmerich. You can take that to the bank.
Yeah, put that in your juice box and drink it.
Yeah, you know how you send your kid to school with an empty box? And you go, here's your juice. When you get to school, put the juice in the box, and then you can drink it. Put that in your juice box and drink it?
Well,
who the fuck says that?
My wife.
Put that in your juice box and drink it.
What do you want me to say?
A real colloquialism that people actually say.
Well, you know.
Put those socks on your feet and wear them.
Okay.
Anyway, if you'd like to send us any questions, comments, concerns, or hate mail, you can send us hate mail over at moviehotdog@gmail.com. We have a Twitter, which I never update. You can check that out at moviehotdog. Then we got a Facebook. You can like us. Please comment on this. If anybody sees this, go to our Facebook at This Movie Was a Hot Dog and like just tell me if I was wrong, because I imagine that I am. If you get this on iTunes or Podomatic, please rate and review and subscribe as it helps the show. Francis, do you have anything to say?
I got nothing.
Why don't you take us out?
Well, for Reverend Zach, this is Frank just saying This Movie Was a Hot Dog.